So as she just mentioned, I am actually one of a two-part presentation here. Bridget Kelly is my co-collaborator on this project and will be speaking on the second half of this study. So I'm going to start it off and talk about a good chunk of the study that we did, and then Bridget is going to talk about the second part of the study. But this is a study that compares knowledge, awareness, and attitudes of vaccination at two different times of approval. I have nothing to disclose. And as you just gave a really nice overview about the vaccines, I put together this little slide that does a little bit of a comparison between June 2006 and October of 2009, because these are the two times that we studied vaccine approval. And as you had mentioned, June 2006, the FDA approved Gardasil for use in females, the prevention of cervical cancer and genital warts. ACIP, which was the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, recommended that vaccine for routine vaccination of girls 11 to 12. They had a catch-up period there for older females all the way up to 26. And at that time, if you remember, initial knowledge about HPV and cervical cancer was very low, practically non-existent, leading up to that June 2006 time. But right at June 2006, and actually before then, Merck started a really intense pharmaceutical campaign, an educational, health educational campaign that just pretty much blitzed the media from then on. And the news coverage began at the time of the approval, and knowledge and awareness slowly started to go up from there. Fast forward 3+ years to October 2009, the FDA approved Gardasil now for the use of males, only for the prevention of genital warts. They did not approve it for any cancer prevention at the time. They said that there was not enough data to make that recommendation, so it was technically on the books, only approved for the prevention of genital warts right now. ACIP opted against routine recommendation for males at the time. They put in place what they called a statement of permissive use, which was essentially that we think it's okay that you vaccinate males, but we can't put in a formal recommendation at this time because we use cost-effectiveness data on genital warts, and we didn't find it to be worthwhile in the strong recommendation that we gave for females. The committee is meeting again now to review that discussion. But at the moment, the levels of recommendation for males and females are a little different. The recommendation for females still remains stronger than for males. And now HPV knowledge is higher, partially due to that onset of media in 2006. But the understanding of HPV in males is poor. So most of that media information in 2006 was directed to females and mothers and really didn't focus in on the males at all. Rightly so, because it wasn't approved for them, but there's now a little bit of catch-up work for the men to do. And at this point in time, there was very little media coverage in October 2009, nothing related to what we saw in 06. And there was not the onset of pharmaceutical advertising that there was. So there's some things that are very similar about the two time periods and some things that were different. So Bridget and I, being at Annenberg at the time, had access to this wonderful survey called the Annenberg National Health Communication Survey. And what this is an in-house monthly internet-based survey implemented by a company called Knowledge Networks, and it's designed to gather a nationally representative sample of adults every month. And so essentially what we can do is when new topics come about or there's new ideas or you really want to coincide with something that just happened, we can insert questions right at the moment that things are occurring. And so what we did is we implemented some HPV questions in both June 2006 and in October 2009. These panel participants that are chosen from around the country, they are chosen using a random digit dialing procedure. They're given internet access if they lack it in their home, so there's not that internet bias of sampling as much. I just mentioned we were able to go into the field with questions right at June 2006 and right at October 2009. Our June 2006 sample had 635 adults. You can see it was about a 50-50 male-female split, but it was a predominantly white sample of adults across America with a mean age of 47 years. And then again in October 2009, our sample was 522 adults, very similar in demographics. So we have these two different samples that we're able to compare at two different times. Most of the data I'm just presenting here is comparative data. It's more about general percentages and frequencies. I didn't get into some deeper analysis, but we really just wanted to do comparisons at the two different times. So sampling out the 326 females who answered the questions in June 06 compared to the 244 males who answered in October 2009, because we really wanted to focus in the females when they were approved and the males at the time they were approved. About almost 60% of the females had ever heard of HPV at the time. And you can see with the media coverage that occurred over those years, the awareness of HPV was higher among the males at the time it was approved for them. Although ever hearing about a vaccine was a little bit lower for the male-female ratio there. And you can also see how the media campaign has really come down. At the time in June 06, about 1 in 3 had seen an HPV ad in the last week. And that's really pretty intense media coverage as opposed to about 9 or 10% now for the 09 time period. And the females that understood that link between HPV and cervical cancer was about 61%, a little bit lower for males, although rightfully so, looking back, we probably should have had a male-specific HPV and genital warts or some kind of question for the males. But so then we had some questions about intentions to vaccinate, and at the time of June 2006, about 51% of the females said that they would get the vaccine for themselves if it was available at no cost. Fast forward a few more years, for the men, it's about 37% of the males said they'd get that vaccine if it were available to them at their age for no cost. Then we phrase the question as, well, what if you had to pay for it? Would you still get it? The numbers go down pretty drastically, about half, down to about 25% of the females would get it and only about 10% of the males would get it if they had to pay for it. So there's definitely still remains to be these cost differences. But then we have questions about, would you vaccinate your own child? And you can see, again, at no cost and with cost. And the vaccination of child becomes very similar for males and females at the two different time periods, 53 and 47, but is much lower than if you have to pay for it. So parents are still weighing in the priorities versus the cost and things like that. And then we ask the question is, if you had an 18 to 26-year-old child in your house, would you recommend it for them? And you can see again that the levels are a little bit similar for males and females, but then do go down again for cost. So just some conclusions before we'll have a few more people in the middle, but then we get to Bridget. Awareness of HPV and the vaccines has increased over time due to a lot of that media campaign that did happen between 06 and 09. Intentions to vaccinate self was still higher for females at the time of their approval than for males at the time of their approval. So, and then there's still this vaccination difference depending on cost that persists even a couple years later for males and females. And I think that is my final slide. I'm actually going to be going. I have to catch my plane. So if you have any questions, just send me an email or you can give them to Bridget. And we'll be fine. And I'm sure you have the same statement about who supports this AnHoc survey. The Annenberg Trust at Sunnylands and the Annenberg Schools at the two institutions. And we really thank them for the survey. We really like it.